I want you to look over to 1 Peter for just a moment, and then we'll go to a few places this morning. If you don't have time to turn, Kathy, so faithful, she'll have those words above so you can look at it. All right. I want to call my message today, stay close to the fire. You have to stay close to the fire because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Well, I'm so glad that he got this for me because I did have an announcement I wanted to make today. In fact, I guess somebody wanted to announce it before I did. But anyway, we used to blow a shofar around here all the time. And back in the late 90s and early 2000s, man, everybody was blowing a shofar, and most people don't even know why you blow a shofar. So a few years ago, probably a year or two ago, we put the shofar aside, but I hear the Lord saying, it's time to pull it up. And here's why. I want you to know, I asked Brother Art, somebody slipped him a little note and said, blow that shofar. Well, don't be slipping any of our praise team notes because they don't take directions from you. All right. So, anyway, I don't know who did it, so that way no one's in trouble. All right. So, but I do want to say it's the shofar, what it did to the Jewish people was it reminded them of coming out of Egypt's bondage. They would blow that shofar. And then it also reminded them of Abraham when he took Isaac up to be sacrificed and the ram was caught in the thicket. Well, every now and then a shofar would blow and they'd be reminded God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And they'd be reminded. So when you hear that shofar blow, be reminded that God will supply your needs. It also, the shofar represents the second coming of the Lord. Bible says one of these days we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and the trumpet of God will sound first, and that trumpet is going to be sounding just like a ram's horn. I bought this old ram's horn when I was in Pensacola at the Great Revival in 1996, and we had been blowing it for years. And so I asked Art, I said, Art, let's get through Easter, but I want to be able to talk to the people and warn them that there's going to be a blast. Because there were certain people say, Pastor, that just scared me when that shofar blew. Scared you? That's because they didn't know what it was about. Well, it startled me. Oh, you poor baby. So here's, I'm still at it, I guess. So, but here's why Moses had them blow the shofar. Moses, the people were traveling through, you know, millions of them. And they were traveling out through the wilderness. And whenever, you know, they were following the cloud by day and the fire, the pillar of fire at night. And Moses kept an eye on that. And when he saw that old pillar and that pillar of fire slowing down and stopping, he'd say, blow that trumpet. And they blew it. I don't know. I didn't look this up for him telling you this. There was one blast, there was two blasts, and there were three blasts. Let's just start with one. And he would blow the doop. It would be one long blast. And that meant, stop. We're going to set up camp here. And everybody stopped and everybody gathered. It was time to gather. Now, that's what the Jewish people did when they blew it. They didn't blow it because the pillars stopped. They blew it because it was just time for them to go to church. Every time it was time to gather in the sanctuary together, they blew the shofar. So that's what we're going to do. He's going to give us a blast or two blasts, however he wants to do it. But next Sunday morning, when you hear that blast, we may stop the countdown probably. But when you hear it, if you're in one of the restrooms or you're outside or you're in the bookstore, Anthony, you hear that trumpet, you just say, we got to get out of here. It's time to go to church. We just got to get in the building. Amen? Amen. Okay, we just got to get in here together. Okay, and then it would blow twice. Moses would say, we're going to blow the shofar twice. Two long blasts when it's time to just start gathering your things together. Just gather your things together. I hear an enemy out there. We just may be moving, but no moving yet. Just blow twice. That just means fortify the tents. Just fortify, protect your children, get the children in the tent, get everything taken care of. There's an enemy outside. You guys, we got to pay attention to what's going on. So they would blow it to get safety and protected from the enemy. They blew three times to say, we're getting ready to leave, you guys. The cloud's starting to move. I saw the old cloud moving yesterday. I saw the fire now moving. So they blow three blasts, and that meant we're ready to leave. So we're going to begin blowing the shofar again, and it's going to be for that reason. You can use anyone you want. But the number one reason I want you to think about it is to gather in the house. Gather in the main sanctuary and let's have church. Or you can remember that Jesus is coming back, or you can remember all your needs are met according to his riches in glory. Amen? Okay. So let's just get right into this word today, but I'm just telling you, stay close to the fire. I'm giving you very, very important message today from heaven. The other day, I was looking at one of my old Bibles. Sarah had saw it. We had company last Easter. It's, Mom, there's your old date Bible you had on the road. And they're just so tore up. I've been through three of them, but that was the first one as we were out there. And I opened it up, and I began to look at something, and there was a message that I had preached about the lions and what causes them together and take animals down. And I looked at that, and I gathered a couple of stories out of it. And that's what brought me to this occasion to talk to you about staying close to the fire of God. Why? Because God is a consuming fire. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire. And he also said when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire set upon their heads. Amen. And it says that Jesus' eyes in Revelation chapter 1, that Jesus' eyes look like a flame of fire. Jesus actually looked like fire from his waist. Ezekiel describes him from his waist up, just like a burning fire. And so we know that Jesus is fire. But let me tell you, you can either warm yourself at the fire of God, or you can warm yourself at the enemy's fire. Who did that? Who warmed themselves at the enemy's fire? You may remember, I've told you a few times over these 25, 26 years, when Jesus was going to be crucified, they took him in to see Pilate, and there stands Peter out there warming his hands over the enemy's fire. And there were some girls, and there were some guys, and they're all standing out there, and they built the fire, and Peter's standing there with them. Remember when Jesus said, oh, Peter says, no, you're not going to the cross. He said, no, Peter, by the time that rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Peter said, not me. He said, oh, no, you will. So he's standing out there warming his hands at the wrong fire. It said he followed Jesus afar off. Far off. He didn't follow real close. A lot of people follow Jesus from far off. And some warm themselves at anyone's fire. But there's really only one fire we need to warm ourselves at, and this is that consuming fire. That little bush, it didn't blow, go out. So Peter opens his mouth to talk, and one of the girls said, oh, you're one of those Galileans. You're with Jesus Christ. Oh, no, not me. And she says, no, I think you are. Second time, he says, no, she says, no, you're. Vocabulary, your accent gives you away. And he said, no, I'm telling you, I'm not. So he denied three times, and on the third time he cursed. Doesn't tell us what he said, but he cursed. And he said, I am not. And when he did, the rooster crowed. I can tell you folks, it's not worth it. Watch out whose fire warms you. What turns you on? What just makes you so excited about something? Huh? So we'll go on a little bit farther, because I'm going to tell you right now. Remember that song years ago, Madonna, this wild woman in the world. Her song was all over. It was playing in every store you walked into, saying, I'm a material girl, And I live in a material world. Well, if there is ever a material world, we're living in it now. But the thing is you and I can't be material people. Now, we have to have material things. This building is material. The chairs you're in is a material. The instruments are material things. But they don't hold us. We hold them. We have blessings at home, but they don't hold us. We hold them, and we're blessed people. But this earth is dark, and it's cold. It's just so cold, and it's so selfish. I mean, people are so engaged with themselves and just care about what makes me happy, what makes me comfortable. And all of this darkness, and they try to warm themselves with material things and more and more and more, and warm themselves up until some have become greedy and unthankful, not even thankful for what they have. But many are spiritually cold. I mean, and Paul said it, and Peter said it. He said, in the last days, people will wax cold because of sin. Why? Because you're following Jesus afar off. And that just doesn't work. Now, one of my old preachers, I remember this. I don't know. Could have been J.D. White. But he preached a message called, I'll never forget. I was a young girl, probably 18, 19 years old. He preached, they got what they wanted. And they didn't like what they got. And you know who he was talking about? Was the people of Israel. And the people of Israel, they got sick and tired of eating that manna on the ground. They got tired of it, which you can't really blame them. I mean, 40 years eating a taco every single day, it was like flour and did like bread, you know. So I can't blame them for that. But the thing was, is God didn't like it because they could cook it many different ways. So anyway, they started complaining. We don't like it. We don't like it. We just want some meat. We just wanted some meat. We want some chew. And so they kept complaining. They weren't thankful. They didn't appreciate what God had done. He said, you want meat? I'll send you some meat. And the disciples said, oh God, disciples weren't there. It was Old Testament. But they said to the prophet, oh, God's going to send it. Elijah said, and they said, oh, there wouldn't be enough meat to feed these people. These are millions of people out here. I mean, we could gather from all over. There wouldn't be enough. All of a sudden, a quail began to fly in. They were just flying in. Quail, 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 quail. I mean, like train loads of quail. They're just quail, quail, quail. And the Bible says they ate that quail. Listen to this. And while the meat was still in their teeth, they killed over dead. Some of it says they were loathsome. They were loathing of this stuff. They then suddenly despised it. This is bad, but it's what the King James says. They, not very ladylike either, but they were so loathsome of it. And they were so through with this meat. Even it was making them sick. It was in their teeth. It was in their mouth. And it began to come out their nose. I told you it was bad. So it began to come out, made them sick, and they just killed over. They got what they wanted. They didn't like what they got. So I am praying for our school to open. I am praying that God will send us godly teachers. But I'm praying, God, yes. I'm saying, Lord, I want to open that school. Our little kids need to come out. And we would be able to put a few out there, which would be a blessing. But I said, Lord, I don't want your permissive will. I want your perfect, perfect will. I mean, if you were saving us from a crisis with somebody from the state, then, or whatever it is, we're not going to be connected with the state. But whatever, Lord, you look over us. So it's very important that you pray the perfect will of God. There are some things that you know are absolutely his will, and that's to save sinners and to heal the sick. Okay, so there's just some things that are his absolute will, but when not doing that, he said, always, amen, pray my will. And we've kind of got preached against that over the years. But I'm just telling you, there's some things you may beg for, beg for, beg for. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. And I'm mad at you, God. Like the lady that had four boys And she wanted a little girl, and she kept crying for the little girl. True story. She'd come to our meetings, and she would just beg for the little girl. Pray for me and get a baby girl. Pray. And she was just, her husband would say, she treats our boys like they're nothing. She just wants a girl. She doesn't care about the boys. And so she just kept coming up and coming for prayer and coming. And then we'd see her the next year, and she still hadn't had the baby. One night we were in a certain church, and she came. I called her up, and I said, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby girl. So we went back to the hotel, and when we got there, Lynn Laney says, Paulette, what is wrong with you? That woman will kill all of us. If she don't get that baby girl next year, and you lied to her, or you got out of line with God, she's going to kill us, and you know that. You remember that, Al? It was a bad deal. But you know what? She had that baby a year later, and we dedicated that baby down at the old church. But see, God had, listen, on, and I'll go on, because this message is so pull me down. I mean, spread out to about 3 o'clock. I won't do that, though, I don't think. So, anyways, okay, God sometimes saves us from things, and timing with him is just everything. I mean, it's just everything. So, she had that baby a year later, and you know, her 16-year-old boy grew up, and he was out with some friends one night, and they were playing chicken with a train. The train was coming down the track, rolled right over the car, and killed them all. Killed her 16-year-old son. But he was saving that baby girl. She could never replace that boy, but it brought new joy. 6 months after that boy died, it brought great joy to her. You see how God knows everything, and it's lined up, and it'll be worth the wait. So don't get so upset at him. Don't warm yourself at the enemy's fire trying to get satisfied, because you might like get what you wanted and not like what you got. If it's almost like Sarah and Abraham. Sarah said, no, I'm tired of waiting on God to give us that baby. You just go lay down with the Hagar, the maiden girl. Well, she did it, and then Sarah despised her. So it's just not worth getting out here, okay? So I'll tell you one other thing. Jesus would know this if he was standing right here. He'd say landmark. He would say America. He would say the world. It was dark during my day, too. And before Jesus came to earth as a baby, and before he was crucified, I'm telling you, it was darker than it is right now. It was so dark on earth, but Jesus was sent to earth. God sent a Savior, and he's getting ready to do something in America. And here's why I want to say this to you. Okay, I just made a few little notes over here on this, so I wouldn't get that distracted. But, I mean, I could really get off on this, but you know all the things they're trying to accomplish today. They're wanting to defund the police. Amen? Okay. Don't sit there and act like you agree with them, or I'll preach that. Okay. They want to defund the police. So in a little while, even now, and it hasn't been that long, maybe a year or two, now they got what they wanted, and they don't like what they got. And then they want to go soft on crime. Oh, really? You want a few quail? Well, now the quail's starting to fly in on them. Soft on crime? Oh, no, that's getting pretty messy. They're wanting to call good evil and evil good. Well, how's that working out for you? Well, the quails start to come in to their very homes, their families, their minds. You're wanting to tear down parental rights? Are you serious? Somebody say, I dare you. Yeah, and so that's what's happening. The AFT president, who is in the American Federation of Teachers. Her name is Randy Weingarten. She came out. She's lesbian. She said, this is the way war starts. It's for parents to be able to tell the teachers what to teach their children. Why would you say that's the way war starts? Calling evil good and good evil. Here's what she said. This was written in the Washington Post. She said, parents claim that they have a right. Y'all going to get mad at this. She said parents claim that they have a right to shape their children. Yeah, that part's true. Do we have a right to shape our children? She says you don't. She said you claim you do. And that's the way war starts. She wants a war, she'll get one. Imagine she's going to get all the quail she wants. Did you see little Jen Psaki up there, the press secretary? She was up there talking and she just booed, cried. I mean, she was serious crying. She wasn't playing. Her little tears were just flowing. It's made you want to run up and wipe them with a Kleenex, you know. She was just crying. And so while she's crying, no, Laura, we can't. I thought it, I didn't say it. So she says, these babies today, they're just being bullied by these conservative people. They're just being bullied, and they're trying to tell us that we can't teach sex education to the kindergartners through third grade, and we need to start when they're young in case they don't know who they are. We can tell them who they are. I'm just telling you guys, the quail are getting ready to blow in. They are. They're going to, as the old preacher said, they're gonna get what they wanted. And they are not going to like what they got. My goodness, whoever thought we'd live in this day. And then some have the guts to say, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't be so political. Hey, number one, we're Christians. And number two, we're Americans. How many American Christians do we have in this house? And we stand for our babies, and we will give our babies a voice, because babies cannot speak for themselves. We'll talk for them, and we will stand. And if you've got yourself at the fire of God and you're warming yourself in His fire, you will say, Pastor, I will stand with you. I will stand. I will stand with God. I will stand with His word, and we won't go back. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Woo. John said Jesus would baptize who in this last day? Listen, John said you guys are really going to need to be baptized with something more than this water I'm baptizing you with. John said up until this day, I just baptized you with water. But he said there's one coming after me. And he is going to baptize you. Listen to this. This is the Bible. John said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with him and with fire. Hallelujah. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire. I mean, the two go together. And he said, you're going to need this fire to live in the last days. And that's what Jesus and his disciples did. Hallelujah. So church, I'm just warning you, stay close to the fire. Now, let me tell you a very serious story that I got out of that old Bible. I don't know where I got the story, but it was a true story. And it said that there were missionaries working in Africa. And the missionaries were always told, now, when you're out in the jungle and you're sleeping in a tent or a little hut, whatever you're sleeping in, keep a fire burning outside your door. Keep logs on it. Keep wood on it. Keep a watchman there to watch over this fire. You've got to keep the fire burning. Don't let it go out, because if you do, the lions will come in. And the lions might make you their food. So you keep that fire burning. Missionaries did that. But there were some bird watchers, a husband and wife team. And they were just out there to watch the birds. And the story from the woman went like this. We had a nice hot fire and it was blazing. Man, it was burning so hot. And we were so comfortable inside our tent, we both fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I awoke at some horrible growling and sound. And there was a lion, and it had its big mouth over my husband's head and was pulling him outside that tent. And there wasn't anything I can do. And thank God he didn't come back for her. But he drug that man out and began to feed on him. Why? The fire went out. Telling you guys, this is a big old warning from God. I mean, it's huge. Because Satan is trying to put out the fire of God's people. See, 1 Peter 5:8, you all know what it says. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober means don't be intoxicated. Don't walk in these sins that overtake your mind and your spirit, man. You'll get paralysis. If you're addicted to something, it will paralyze you. If you are depressed, it will paralyze you. If you get oppressed, there's these things. Sickness can sometimes even paralyze a person's mind. But here's what God said. Don't you be taken by that. You be sober. And you pay attention and you be vigilant. Because, look at this, your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a what? Yeah, like the one that went in that lady's tent. That was a reality. It was a real deal. But see, we've got a spiritual lion. Oh, hallelujah. We got the lion of Judah. But we also have a dirty devil. And it says he comes in, he walks about like a roaring lion doing what? Seeking, what's that next word? Whom he may devour, not what. Yeah, he's not looking for what he may devour. He's looking for whom. What are they doing? What is their patterns? Oh, don't think he doesn't watch your patterns and behavior that distracts you from God. Whenever I'm counseling somebody, I'll say, what is your behavior? What triggers you to want to do that? What triggers that? And they'll know exactly what pulls them away. They know exactly. And I say, be careful now. When that pattern comes on, you better get yourself busy. You better get up. You better hold on to this word. It's powerful, you know. But here's the deal. Satan watches that. He knows every pattern. In fact, he brings that thing to your mind. Now, Billy Graham said this. Billy Graham said, I cannot help thoughts from passing over my head, but I don't have to let them make a nest in my hair. Okay, the thoughts are going to pass. Temptation's going to come. But you just keep moving. You don't let the thing sit there and homestead and make a nest in your hair. Because he wants you to do what? He's seeking whom he may devour. Who? Oh, no. He wants to come into your lives, your homes, your churches, the nations of the world. And he's in the nations seeking whom he may devour. Number one, where does he feed? When does he come? When the fire goes out. Don't start making excuses. Well, you know, we were sick and we had to go here and we had to go there. Well, I appreciate you, my sister. She's on her way to Pismo Beach. I don't care if you're on your way to Pismo and we just happen to be in the way. Kind of in the way. So she drove out here. But you see, you just hear excuse. Well, things just not working. Okay, we could go on there. So, when the fire goes out, you get cold in your soul, and you just really don't care about that shofar blowing, and I don't even feel like going into the church. I don't even feel like getting dressed and get up and going down there. Now, I'm not going to preach as much to you because you're here. Okay, that wouldn't be smart if I'm preaching to those out there. You're here. But don't get cold in your soul, man. Stay close to the fire of God. I'm just telling you, just stay. Do what you got to do, but get close to God because he is the consuming fire. His word is like a fire, Jeremiah said. His word is a fire shut up in my bones. It burns. When you go to sit with God, listen, he may not speak to you. I don't go to pray with him and sit with him every morning because he's going to talk to me. I just go to be with him because I know that if I don't hear him today, believe me, I'm going to need to hear him next week. And he'll just bring things up in you and you didn't even know you had it in you. Well, you didn't have it in you. Somebody comes in and drops a bomb on you, you're already ready. I don't have to get worked up. Linda and Debbie leaving? Well, who likes that? We don't like that. We love them. But you know what? It's okay. We're going to be proud with them. Okay, I'm already ready. I've already been in the presence of the Lord. I'm not going to blow up over that. People leave, I'm just going to stop the old bus, open the door, and let them out. And just keep moving. Somebody else will get on the bus. So we're just going to do what we do, but we're going to stay close to the fire. You know who else the devil comes at real quick? Stragglers. How many of you have seen those horrible what do they call those movies? National Geographic. Is that right? Those things. I just hate to watch those, but I do anyway. Sometimes. Until you watch that zebra pull back from the pack and start doing her own thing, maybe stubborn or bitter, and doesn't want to hang out with the rest. Just gets back here and starts hanging out. And that old lion is seeking whom she may devour. And just watching, because she knows good and well, if that straggler gets far enough away, they won't even know she's not with them. Just get far enough away, and man, he will pounce on that zebra, get on top of that back, take that thing down and have it half eaten with five other lions before they even know the thing is gone. Gone. See, people that straggle away from the church, staying home alone. Well, I watch Jimmy Swaggart, and I watch Kenneth Copeland, and I watch. Well, help yourself, baby. But let's see how that works out for you. Let's see how you might get all that cereal at your little TV tray in front of the TV you want, but you'll probably get what you want and not like what you got. Because we are to come into the house together. This is the only place that the Christians have to come together. And I mean be together and worship and hear the word of God. Well, I hear it at home. That's not what the Bible instructed us to do, church, and you know it. He said, don't you be a straggler. You want to get back there by yourself? You want to be the Lone Ranger? It'll just be you and Tonto, and that ain't much. And you'll straggle back there, and then you're all alone. First thing you know, you've been alone so long, something happens. Hello. Brother Rick, could I make an appointment with the pastor? Who is this? Oh, didn't recognize your voice. You know why? Because they hadn't heard from you in 10 years. I'm just saying, lions, come. Here come the lions. Here come the lions. They'll be on your back so quick. They'll take your child out. They'll take somebody out. Because you wanted to play. Oh, I want to be comfortable. I just didn't feel like getting up and getting dressed. Some of you are mad at me already. But you know what? If the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. But if it fits, you just got to be Cinderella, baby. Just put it on. But the lions move in really quick when you get out there all by yourself. And then look at their families. Look at the children. Look what's happening. All kinds of things begin to happen that's not good. Start losing money. I mean, just start getting lost. Paralysis sets in. But I'll tell you this, folks. The lions watch the herd, and he knows their strength and all those things being together. That's why he doesn't mess with them when they're all together. No. He doesn't go to a whole herd of zebras because he would get trampled. He waits until one pulls away because he knows that they stay really tight when they're together. Hallelujah. But I warn you today, just don't be deceived. Stay in the flow. Whether it's this church, if you got to go to another church and go over there. Look, I just say, look, if you don't want to come to Landmark, just stay in some church with the believers. Just stay with other people. Just stay with those. You're going to be with the world. Well, I don't want to just be with people just like me all the time. Really? Don't you go to work? You're not with people like you at work. You go to St. Mark, there's all kinds of people in there. You go to the post office, there's all kinds of people. You just get people with a like mind and a like heart when you come into the church as a house of God. And then you've always got Mr. Joe, theologian, who says, Pastor, don't you know that we are the church? Wherever I am, it is the church. I know we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But let some unbeliever drive down this street. They say, oh, there's a church. Oh, there's the house of the Lord. There's the house of God. When you're down there at St. Mark, they don't say, oh, there's the church right there. There's the body of Christ. Well, there's the church. No, the only thing they know as a church is the building. So that's why we need to get our rear ends in the building and come in here with Jesus and stay together. Hallelujah. In fact, though, what the Bible says, so just so you won't think I'm just preaching a bunch of my own ideas, Hebrews 10:25. You know it. Do not. Oh, Pastor, I knew you were going to go there. No, the Bible went there. Do not forsake the assembling. That means gathering together. Don't forsake assembling yourselves together as some do. Don't forsake that. And then he says, especially as you see the day approaching. Why did he say that? Because there is such deception in the land. There's liars and spirits and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the Antichrist spirit is all over the land. So I said, man, if you were going to disassemble yourself and not assemble with believers, you should have done that a long time ago. But don't be playing with God now, because time is getting short. All right, I want to show you. Here's another really, really good reason. And you need to give this to some of your loved ones who's not going to church. Jeremiah 23:4. Look at this, Kathy, I want that to be up. Jeremiah 23:4. You used to see our banners up. Sometimes we still put them up at prayer meeting. By the way, y'all need to come on Wednesday nights. It's a time of devotional, time to pray. We have little banners up. And on the pastor banner, I had them put this scripture years ago. And every Christian needs a shepherd. That's God's word. Every Christian needs a shepherd. And here's why. Look. Jeremiah 23:4. God said, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them. And they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. That means feel like you just want to give up. Nor shall you be lacking. You'll have more than enough. Says Pastor Paulette. Come on. Thank you, Brother Art. Who said it? The Lord said it. He said, I'll put a pastor, a shepherd in that place. And they will just feed you. They'll give you food to eat. You come in hungry. You come in empty. I'll call people to give you food to eat. And then it says, look, and you will fear no more. The people that are staying home and they're fearful, tell them, look, get a shepherd, get a pastor. But get one you like. Get one you feels anointed. Okay, if they don't want to come to Landmark, then say, it's okay, go somewhere else. But go get yourself under a shepherd, because they will feed you the word. Because, see, I was called to do this. All of us aren't called to do this. That's right, Reb. I'm not saying you can't teach or preach, but I'm just saying he called me to pastor, so there's certain things that I will feed you that you couldn't feed all the people. That's why I told you earlier, don't tell Brother Art when to blow that shofar, because you don't know what I know. I knew I wanted to tell you about it first before you hear it, so you'd appreciate it much more. Now, next Sunday, it will be blown forever probably. But you tell your loved one, they're staying home afraid. No, get under a pastor. Get in a church. Get under the shepherd. Because the Bible says, and give them that Jeremiah 23:4. You won't be fearful anymore. And tell them you won't feel dismayed. How many times have you heard somebody say, I just want to give up? You won't. You get under a pastor that's feeding you the word of the Lord. He said, and you won't lack. You say, well, I don't have enough. Then you guys better get back into church. Come on, come with me, or go down over here. You know, there's a lot of good churches in town. Find them one. And I pray it's this one, but again, if it's others, that's fine too. Just get them in a place, get them with a shepherd, because we all need that. We don't need to be afraid. We don't want to just want to be given up all the time, and no one needs to be lacking, because he said, I'll give you exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. So where does he come? Number one, the lions come where the fire goes out. And number two, he goes where there's stragglers just playing off. But I want to give you this because this is a biggie. And this is why our prisons are full. This is why there's so many distraught children in the schools. This is why there's so many homes that are dysfunctional. If the devil can get to mom and dad, if he can get to the marriage, he'll create a gap of unity, unity in that marriage. And if he can do that, he can destroy the family. That lion will come for the kids. They don't care about you. They really don't care about mom and dad, though the devil's always wanted the men out of the home. And then you've got these poor boys in prison that were murderers and drug addicts. Why? Because they never had a daddy in the home. There was no unity between mom and daddy. Just over the simple, stupid little things. You know, most trouble between a man and a woman are just male and female things anyway. I remember those days. You know, like having a hamper in the bathroom. I finally, you know, took it from out there, put it in the bathroom. I says, now, Rick, honey, sweetheart, you've been out working on those horses and with those cows all day. And when you come in, you put your boots outside, but your clothes, you just kind of string them through the house on the way to the shower. Now, I put the hamper in there. Would you put them in that hamper? Oh, sure, I will. You know I will. Well, there's that pretty silver hamper, and there were those clothes laying on top of it, on top of the lid. He must have thought it was a mercy seat. I'm like, no, they belong in it. But, I just shut up. It never did matter. They never got in a hamper. But, you know, that could have caused a divorce. The old boot thing outside, that piece of wood, it has the brushes on the side. Debbie, you know, it just cleans your boots off before they go in the house. I would just say, just use that. I bought it for you at Walco. I mean, just clean your boots. I'll just take them off. So, anyway, in the house. But I'm just saying, I went to Bertha Hearn. I said, Bertha, she was just such a little woman of wisdom. Never preached a sermon, but always taught Sunday school. Bertha, what can I do with this man? He just won't help me out. I got these two little girls. You know, he's so good. He's just such a good person. You know, he's a wonderful man. Just meek and but strong, rugged, but a strong man. And I'd say, he's so good, but I'm telling you, I can't take it anymore. She says, well, I'll tell you what you got to do. That's a man's thing. She always talked so soft. That's just a man thing. And she says, since you're a woman and he's a man, Lori, she just said in so many words, that sweet little thing said, you're going to have to put up or shut up. So you decide, do you want a divorce? Well, no, I don't want a divorce over it. Well, that's where you're headed. Oh, I didn't know that. So what she was saying is what I'm giving you this morning. The lion's going to come in, Paulette, and he will get you. He'll draw a gap between you and that man. He will put a gap between you, and then he'll come for the kids, or he'll come after you. You don't know. I'm just telling you, it could be the simplest of things, and we make fools out of ourselves. Amen? So he'll just keep circling and circling, and that's why the broken homes are there. But here's a message to all the married people. And all of us. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Look at this. Steal the word of the Lord. I'm about to quit. Say, you better quit. It's 11:30. Okay. I'm sorry. I know, me too, Laura. Ephesians 4, 26 says, be angry and do not sin and do not let the sun go down on your wrath and nor give place to the devil. If you go to bed angry and you go to bed mad and he's sleeping in that room and you're sleeping in that room, the sun just went down on your wrath. And it said, don't you give place to the devil, because he'll come while you're separated temporarily. He can come in there. And Rev Ev used to preach, no ground, devil. Give the devil no ground. And church, I'm just telling you, we cannot give him ground, because he comes like a lion to devour everything that we are. All right. James 3:16. Look at this. It's so powerful. Got this in my spirit when I was a young woman. Stayed there. Have I always lived by it? I doubt it. You know. But you go back and repent when you lose it. Look at James 3:16. Where there is envy and where there is strife, there is what? Are you looking at it? James 3:16. Where there is envy and where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So when you start with strife, confusion, it says there is confusion. It means confusion will just show up. It'll just be there. And when it does, there, it's just like opening the door to the lion and saying, come on in. And it said there will be every evil work right there. Be careful what you let come into your house. Number four, and I quit with this. The lions feed, and they come where there's disobedience. If you're disobeying the word of the Lord and you're disobeying him, I'm just telling you, it's big trouble. There's a way, the Bible says, it seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. You know when you're disobeying. No one has to call you up and say, hey, you're disobeying God. We always know it. You know how we know it? By conviction in our heart. The Holy Spirit convicts us. So he always lets us know that's wrong, and you know it. So Revelation 2:5. Remember, Revelation 2:5. Remember, he's saying, now you act like you may have forgotten it for a while, but remember this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Where did you lose it? Where did you start messing up? Where did the lion come in? What do you think caused that? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do your first works over, or else. Somebody say, or else. Jesus speaking. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Lampstand is light. You won't be able to see where you're going. But he said, you can repent and it'll all be over. And then he goes ahead and talks about, is there more there, Kathy? Pull it on down to the next one. Yeah, he said, but this I see about you. Man, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were very worldly. They called evil good, good evil, just like the people today. He said, and I also hate that too. Go ahead. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, that's us. You've already overcome some mess in your life. He says, to him who overcomes, I will give him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He said, I've got the table already set for the overcomers. The table's already set for you. I'm about to call you to dinner. Folks, I'm telling you, just get ready. Our food is set right in front of us. And he said, you drink my food. Here's the food he sent us. Come on, get your food out. You drink, eat my food. Keep that one up there, Kathy. I think it's there. Eat my fruit and drink my drink. And instead of that demonic lion coming at you, it won't be the demonic lion. It'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. It'll be the lion, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It'll be our lion, the King of Judah. And he said, and I've made you lions in the tribe of the Lord. I've called you to be lions in the tribe of... You're the lion. You know, the only animal that is afraid of another lion... The only animal, not a bear, not an elephant. Nobody's afraid of a lion except another lion. There's nobody stronger than a lion. Nobody greater than Jesus. And he said, I put that lion attitude within you. And I mean L-I-O-N, not L-Y-I-N-G. I've called you to be lions in my tribe. Father, this is the Lord Jesus, our Lion King. Our Lion King. I wonder if Disney, I wonder if they felt something years ago when that Lion King came out. The world always tries to mock you in your ways, but you are the King of heaven and earth. And we eat of your body. The people of Israel denied the bread, and you gave them quail, and it killed them. We're not going to put anything else in the place of your body. It is your food for us. And so we eat your body now together as we have assembled together in your name, in Jesus' name. Let the people of God eat the body of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you all stand for the blood, please? My little Parker said to me before I came up here, Nana, do I have to eat that bread? He said, it's awful. He said, I'll just drink the juice. I said, no, you eat the bread too. That's Jesus' body, baby. You got to have the body. You got to have the body with a drink. And aren't you glad Jesus died to heal our bodies and forgive us of our sins? And he gave us righteousness and forgiveness. Wonderful Jesus, we repent in every way. Lord, lead us not into destruction. Lead us not into temptation. Just deliver us from evil. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive your blood with your body. You said, eat and drink, because I've prepared a table for you, and you'll be with me someday. Till the lions of the tribe of Judah drink his blood. Wonderful Jesus, would you praise him? All right, let me say, we just partook of the fullness of the body of the Lord and the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit. Ephesians said, be full of the fullness of God. He said, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he said, be full of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are full of today. Would you lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your body. We thank you for the blood. Father, I pray that lives have been changed in this room this morning. Lord, we didn't go lay hands on anybody. But Lord, just the other day I heard a testimony of a little boy who grew 2 ears back. He had no ears from birth. And at the lunch table, his ears grew out with hearing. Lord, may someone receive something at their dinner table, at work this week, right now in this room, because you were here with your omnipotent, omnipresent, glorious Shekinah glory and manifested power. Let the church say amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace in your life, in your home, in your own mind and heart. In Jesus' name, amen.